Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms is in the middle of the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Let our little ones be dismissed for children's Bible time. There is no heat in the room, just FYI for the parents. There is no heat in the room where they normally meet, so they're going to the education building this evening. But follow Mr. Frank and Ms. Rodriguez. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Striving for excellence is the key. Frank, you've got one young lady leaving, just so you know. Striving for excellence, setting high standards, embracing a growth mindset, fostering a positive attitude, personal and professional development, all these things you might see on your company website, encouraging you to strive for excellence. You can go on the internet today and you can do, give me 10 top ways to strive for excellence, and you'll come up with all kinds of lists. You go to the bookstore and you can find books on the quest for excellence, books and videos and conferences, all kinds of things and all kinds of people trying to get you to strive for excellence. Welcome to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, because long before man thought that was an important thing, God thought it was important, and he gave us Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 encourages us to strive for excellence as not defined by the internet and not defined by a conference and not defined by a book, but as defined by God. Striving for the best, striving for God's best for your life, God's wisdom, Bible wisdom. I say that because Solomon had worldwide fame. People refer to Solomon as the wisest man on the face of the earth, rightfully so. He had worldwide fame. He could speak 3,000 proverbs. His songs of wisdom number over 1,000, 1,005, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. But, sadly you have to put a but in somebody's life, but there was a point in his life where he did not follow that wisdom. It is not enough to know it. Nelson, it is not enough to know Romans chapter 12. You've got to live it. And therein comes what is better or best. And that takes us into chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death, better is in, I'm inserting that because it's part of the text, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Again, to number our days. Why? To apply our hearts unto wisdom, to know that today could be the last day of your life. And that helps you to live wiser, to make wiser choices. Verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is a house of mourning, but the heart of fools is the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. What would that be? Oh, you're the most wonderful person in the whole world. Go ahead and do that dope. That'll be good for you. You'll enjoy that. It'll bring you happiness. Your friends tell you to do things. That's not always a good thing. It amazed me in education, and I spent several years in the teaching realm, there was always that instigator. They knew where the line was, and they would instigate people in the class to get rambunctious, and then they sit there like an angel. Now, they started it, and they caused it, and they got the other guy, but the other guys got in trouble, and they just never seemed to get in trouble. And God tells us, be careful. Better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as a crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This is also vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And no, so we see that vein throughout the chapter, and let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening, that we would be encouraged by your word to seek that which is best. And not just to know what the Bible says, but to be able to live a life that is pleasing to you. May we be so challenged tonight, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Question, do you desire God's best? Do you display a consistent desire for God's best in your life? Why do you say that? Because many, many times, a Christian young man or Christian young lady or older man or older lady is satisfied with God's permissive will. You've heard God's permissive will or God's perfect will. And how do I know if I'm God's permissive will or God's perfect will? Are you following God's word? And it's just pretty easy. And for a while in Solomon's life, he followed God's word, but then there's a time that he set it aside. And did God permit that? Sure he did. And then God writes about it, so that we can be warned. Even smart people can get into trouble when they set aside God's word. And so I want to encourage you to this evening, don't settle for something that is good. Strive for the best. Strive is an interesting word. It is not as in strife. It is used positively in salvation, in the book of Matthew, is we are to strive to enter in at the straight gate and find God's way of salvation. And we should strive to do that, to know what is truth. And we encourage you to do that when we show you what is going on with the Bible issues today. Romans chapter 15, verse 30, we are reminded to strive together with Christian leadership in prayer. That's a good thing. Before the service on Sunday night, there is a group of men that get together and they pray. And that is a good thing. Strive with one another. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, we are admonished not to strive about words with no profit, or strive with others just for the sake of strife. Every once in a while, I'll watch somebody, and I'll watch them purposely use words to make somebody else mad. Now, I won't pick on Ben tonight, because Ben is in the room, and Ben doesn't want to be picked on. But Ben confided in me, and he told me this in confidence, so please don't tell Ben that I told you. Ben told me that sometimes he does some things just to aggravate his mother. I know you find that hard to believe, that Ben, as good as he is, would do something purposely to aggravate his mom. But Ben, is that true? Yes. It is absolutely true. And and we laugh when a kid does it, unless you're the mother and you're trying to get him to do thing and he's trying to push your buttons, right? We laugh about that, but to watch an adult do that? To purposely say something hurtful or mean? I call it, and I've watched this in my marital counseling over the years. I'll sit down with a couple, and one part of the bond, one part of the union, has what I call hand grenade approach to conflict resolution. And they just enjoy pulling the pin and tossing the hand grenade in the foxhole to watch everybody bail out. And they sit back and they laugh and laugh and laugh. And that, listen, that's not good. That's not good. It is not good. And we are not to strive about words with no profit or with others just for the sake of strife. We are not. Hand grenade Christianity is not a good thing. What are we to strive for? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we're to strive for the mastery. but we are to strive lawfully, Paul reminds us and reminds a young preacher, Timothy. And so you look through God's Word, you'll find in the book of Proverbs, better to have a good name, better to die and to finish well, a good reputation, better to have a sweet smell than a rotten stench in your life. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart versus a broken spirit. So you'll hear me say, and I pretty much every day you follow me around, you'll hear me say this, how you doing today? Living the dream, living the dream. That's my response, because I am living the dream, but you're only living the dream as you live for God, because that is best. If you're living for self, you're living for promotion, you're living for the flesh, you are not going to end well. And we have seen that just again, another sports betting scandal has just come to the surface. 39 players from 17 schools have been targeted, charged. What's interesting is reading and listening to why the sports people targeted, because you think they're only going to target the big name players. But they said, we didn't target the big name players. We targeted the mediocre players. We targeted the average players. And you sit here and you think, Satan's not going to target me because I'm average. You are absolutely on his target list. Why? Because they were easy targets. Mediocre. And so Christ says to us in Revelation, I wish you were warm or hot, because you're lukewarm. Lukewarm is not a good thing. I'll spew you out of my mouth. They were targeted because they could be bought for lower amounts. So they were appealing to the people that were paying the money out. And since they were average players, they weren't going to go on and make the big money in the big sports leagues after graduation. So it was easy to give them $1,000 to miss a free throw or a game or claim an injury or to do something untoward or accidentally throw it out of bounds. All kinds of things that they were doing in the sports shaving category. It was also interesting in the article that they made the observation that the coaches of these teams and these players don't have a whole lot to say about it. And the fellow that was writing the commentary on this particular scandal in the world said, it makes you wonder, does anybody care about all the cheating and illegal activity and the throwing of games that is going on? And I immediately thought of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I wrote this in my notes, and I highlighted it. Does anyone care? Note in capital letters, God cares. God cares. And he's watching, and he sees it. You may never get caught. You may never go to jail. You may never suffer a consequence here on this earth. But someday you will stand before the big judge, God himself, and you will give an account. And then, when it's way too late, you'll be able to say, with the wise man of Ecclesiastes, it had been better if I would not have gone down this road. But don't wait until it's too late. Question number one, do you consistently display a desire for God's best? Are you striving? Because that's what striving for excellence means. Consistently displaying a desire for God's best in your life. And number two, do you consistently strive to display biblical wisdom? Now, I say biblical wisdom, again, because Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs, Songs 1,005. But he set that all aside. And again, having that knowledge up here, but not enabling it, not following that in your life is foolish. Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. My dad would put it like this. Talk is cheap, mister. My dad was always very polite to us. He was always calling us mister. Talk is cheap, mister. Live it. Live what you talk. Solomon, again, had a point in his life where he did not live what he knew to be right. He did not live his proverbs. And when that happens in your life and you are outed for it, you get into big trouble. David got into trouble. He was having an affair with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's wife, Uriah the Hittite, killed. And he is sitting in the judgment seat as a judge giving judgment. The prophet came to him and said, hey, and he gave a scenario that was different, but very much like what David was dealing with in his own life. And David gave absolutely the right response when he thought it wasn't him. And then the prophet looked at him and pointed the finger and said, thou art the man. I can see the blood as it drained out of David's face, as in front of the court, in front of the scribes, in front of the wise men, in front of the servants, he was exposed for the hypocrisy of his life. Solomon has been exposed for that hypocrisy because it is not enough to know it. You've got to do it. God obviously knows what you're doing. He does. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you may not understand. You may not understand what God is doing. Well, oftentimes, I do not understand what God is doing. And my prayer is this. God, I do not understand what you are doing, but I trust you. Have you ever met a Christian that prays, God, you obviously don't understand what you're doing. Get out of the way. I'm taking this project back myself. Now, I don't know that they would verbally say that, but when you give something to the Lord and then you take it back, that's what you're saying. Rather than what David admonished us in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that was a time when David was waiting for years. He had been anointed to be king. Saul was on the throne. He had opportunities to take the life of Saul, but he refused to do it. And again, I would encourage you to read the book if you have not, and I'm afraid you have not, Tale of Three Kings. What kind of a leader are you? Or do you have the heart of King Saul? Do you have the heart of King David? Or do you have the heart of King Absalom? And they say King Absalom was not king. He had a coronation for himself. But he obviously did not trust God. God, you don't know what you're doing, so I'm going to do it. I am taking over now. And Absalom did, and it did not end well for him, and it will not end well for you. Verse 17, be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? And we are reminded once again that wicked behavior is not what is best for you. A wicked behavior will shorten your life. And this week, as almost every week in the news, there were a couple of examples of people that are involved in the rap music, rap lifestyle, drug lifestyle, whose life ended well before its time. You can choose God's permissive will. God will permit it, but you cannot control the outcome. You can choose to do drugs, but you'll never get your mental faculties back. And it's just not going to be. You're not going to be all you could have been for the cause of Christ. It really bothers me. I've been following college sports a little bit, and I know that Bob Cates is out there somewhere rooting for Indiana to win the big game, right? But after the last game, they said to the coach, so what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to go have a beer. I was really disappointed in that. Why? Because alcohol does things to you. It wrecks brain cells, wrecks your skin, wrecks your life, wrecks people's lives, wrecks other people's lives. It's just not a wise thing. Very disappointed. Once again, we are reminded, again in verse 17, that wicked behavior results in an untimely death. And you can choose that, but you cannot control the consequences. Verse 21. Also take no heed unto thy words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. A little dose of humility, just reminding you that none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You come to me and say, hey, Pastor, I've really goofed up. I'll tell you, man, I've goofed up. But I have found the Lord forgiving, gracious, loving. I am thankful for God's amazing grace. And I have experienced that in my own life on a daily basis. And I need that. Mrs. Bishop needs that. Because, Ben, sometimes I do some things just to irritate Mrs. Bishop. Sometimes I do that on purpose, with malice aforethought. And you don't know what that means, but that's not a good thing. And she gets irritated. And I have to say, if I want to make it to year 42... which is, I don't know, about, is it 42? Yeah. Right? Okay. Then I best behave myself. 42 is about, I don't know, four months away or so. I better behave. And so sometimes I have to go to Mrs. Bishop and say, boy, aren't those words hard to say? I was wrong, and I hurt you. And I am sorry, and I should not have done that, and strive to be better. Verse 21 reminds us that, hey, you are not perfect. When you look at perfect in the dictionary, your picture is not there. You are not the picture of perfection. A little dose of humility as you deal in with others. You are a sinful person. Verse 26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart snares and nets. And there, here in chapter 7, as is done in the book of Proverbs, we are reminded that there are wacko women out there who will destroy your life if you let them. verse 28, which my soul seeketh, but I find none. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. And so, fellas, this is a startling truth. And Solomon's saying, hey, I'm searching for one mice in a thousand. I found one. And for those of you that know percentages, where's my Theo here? That's an insignificant amount. One out of 100 would be 1%. One out of 1,000 would be a very minuscule number of percentage-wise. Do you want to be that man or woman that God uses? You want to be that one in a thousand? It takes effort. It takes work. Or you can be like, I'm not going to say the guy's name. His name is in my notes and I crossed it out because I don't want to give him notoriety. He was a Grammy-nominated rapper. He was in the news this week because he is dead. Dead at 50 years of age. And this is what was said of him. Quote, he joined the angels. Now, I don't know the guy's name. I didn't know anything about him. But I know people in the rap industry. They have a tendency to be in dark places. And I thought, and immediately when they said he joined the angels, I said to myself, I wonder which ones. God's angels or the fallen angels? And then somebody writing about him said, quote, legends never die. And I said, yes, they do. He's dead. And then I did just a little bit of research, and I found out in 2007 he was arrested at Newark Airport for possessing liquid cocaine and drug trafficking, sentenced to 14 years in jail. And he died at 50 years of age. Again, you can choose that lifestyle, but you cannot lessen or eliminate the consequences. Dead at 50 years of age. Is that what you want for your life? It's not what I want for mine. Then it comes up to, and this is where we'll end, verse 29, in the last few moments. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. Now notice that. That's how we pronounce that word. But upright is two words. And in the old English biblical sense of the word, the accent is not on the right. The accent is on the upright, on the up. That we should be displaying wisdom that is above the sun. You've been in Ecclesiastes, you know what that means. Wisdom that is Godward, as opposed to saying, well, this is what man does. Wisdom that is below the sun is man wisdom. Wisdom that is above the sun is God's wisdom. And we should be trending up and to the right. Are you trending up and to the right? Sadly, many men and women choose to sin. They choose foolishness, and you can choose that. Humility should cause you to reflect on where you were and not go back there. Our fallen humanity. Strive and encourage others to seek God's grace. But then we should be trending up and to the right. Are you trending up and to the right? Upright. Erect. Perpendicular to the plane of the horizon. You think of the horizon, perpendicular, upright, as opposed to laying down with the world and the things of the world. To be upright. Again, we accent the second syllable, but God accents the first syllable, up and right. You will never be right if your focus is not up. You can take a walk down the Hollywood Walk of Fame. On that Walk of Fame, there are over 2,800 stars denoting man's achievements. The Hollywood Walk of Fame was in the news this week. They had the dubious distinction of being one of the 100 top attractions in the world, and they were dubbed the absolute worst tourist destination worldwide. Why? Man's wisdom has nothing to offer. You go down to Hollywood Walk of Fame and you can see drug dealers, drugs, human refuse on the streets. The worst of humanity has to offer. And Hollywood represents that. They are not upright. They are not up and to the right. They are trending to self. So are you trending, striving for biblical excellence? Are you tending up and to the right? If you are not tending up, your eyes are not on the Lord. If you are not striving to know God and know God's word, if you are not striving to apply God's word to your life, you will never be right. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're unsaved tonight and you have little desire things for God, if you would embrace God's salvation. You look at the Commonwealth of Virginia, we are not tending up. And so we are not heading right. We are on the path of destruction. Why is that? Because we think we are wiser than God. And you're here this evening, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and say, preacher, would you pray for me? God is speaking to my heart. I know that I've got a sin problem, but I've never embraced the solution. God's salvation. I'm not saved. I don't know what it means to be a Christian, know Christ. Preacher, would you pray for me? Slip your hand up, hold it up for just a moment. Question number two. Pastor, I'm here this evening and I desire to be upright, to trend up and to the right. And would you pray for me that God would help me to have my eyes focused on Him, tending to the right direction, up and to the right. And that's my heart desire tonight. Preacher, would you pray for me? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, that is our prayer. That is the prayer of this preacher this evening, that you would help me to trend up and to the right. That you would help protect these folks. You'd help them to be one of a thousand. The man that is upright, the woman that is upright. Help us to do that, we pray in Christ's name. Every head is bowed, the altar is open, the piano is playing. If you want to pray at the altar, you can. The invitation will not be long. You obey as God speaks.